The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has 2 tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Prepare. That's a good word for these first weeks of December. Cookies being baked, trees being trimmed, cards being mailed, gifts being purchased, lights being lit. There's seemingly no end to the preparations, all of them to culminate in a single day, now less than 3 weeks away. Prepare is also a word for the church in these days. But the call we hear from God's word is for a different sort of preparation, and it has a very different goal. It's about the Lord's coming, to be sure, but not just the celebration of his incarnation long ago in Bethlehem. We heard it from the prophet Malachi this morning, the Lord proclaiming, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." The preparation to which the church is called is preparation for the coming of the Lord. A refiner's fire and fuller's soap are powerful tools to purify. Fullers used caustic lye to clean woolen garments. Refiners used extreme heat to purify gold and silver. In the process, filth and dross and every other contaminant were removed and destroyed. Only what was pure remained. This is the picture our Lord uses to portray his coming. The baptizer echoes those words in our text when he says, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The day of the Lord will be a day of wrath and destruction for all who are not prepared. Certainly, then, we have reason to listen to this call to prepare as something both serious and urgent. It's not too much to say that our very existence depends on it. But what does it mean to prepare? And how is it done? St. Luke summarizes the message of John, the way preparer, when he writes that John came proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for forgiveness. The preparation John urged has everything to do with repentance. Repent. The Greek word literally means to turn around. The picture is of a person walking in a certain direction. In this case, that would be away from God, whether intentionally or unwittingly, and then being turned around to face God again, so that the walk is toward him and then with him. Some years ago now, a new Bible translation tried to make this very clear by using the phrase, "change the way you think and act," in place of the call to repent. This doesn't make for the most elegant English, but it has the benefit of being crystal clear. To repent is to change the way you think and act. The snippets Luke records of John's fiery preaching made it clear that this is precisely the preparing John urged. To the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, John said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's strong language, isn't it? Offensive, even. It's easy to assume that John is talking particularly to those who are very wicked. The sort of folks who can't open their mouth without taking the Lord's name in vain, who seek out the gullible and naive to swindle them out of all that they have to live on. Corrupt businessmen, unfaithful husbands, vicious and mean-spirited gossips. But that isn't the way that Luke describes them. He speaks simply of crowds of people. I dare say that if John were here this morning, he would address you and me with these same words. And he would be right to do so, because the scriptures testify clearly concerning human beings. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. And then most damningly, there is no fear of God before their eyes. But I've been a member of the church for longer than I can remember, you might want to protest. And John would respond, God can raise up church members from the stones out there along the road. His point is that to think of yourself as anything other than as a miserable sinner, to claim any kind of personal worthiness, means that you are not prepared. You are not ready to meet your Lord. The good fruit the Lord desires is repentance, that is, humble sorrow over sin and failure, and trust in the free forgiveness he promises in Jesus Christ. And yet, make no mistake, such repentance is not a good and meritorious work you need to produce to please God. Rather, it is a response God produces in you by his Spirit working through his Word. His law, which condemns and kills all pretensions of personal worthiness, and his forgiving gospel, by which he calls forth faith and gives new life. It is this change his word produces in your heart which will cause you to ask, what then shall I do? Which will move you to struggle against temptation, to love others as Christ first loved you, and to strive to live according to his word in your various vocations. This is repentance, the change God's word makes in the way that you think, which affects then the way that you act. Change which God would produce in your heart continuously, because each and every day you face temptation and fall into sin anew. That's the truth Luther expressed in the first of his 95 theses, writing, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. It's because of this, because of the sin that dwells in all people and constantly works to prevent sinners from turning to God and to separate from God those who have believed, that God sent John and sees to it that his message, prepare, repent, continues to be heard. Both the reading from Malachi this morning and our text are very clear that John was sent by God. He was sent by God because God wanted, and thank goodness still wants, people prepared so that they will not be condemned when he comes in judgment. That was his whole point in sending John to call sinners to repentance for forgiveness. And it's also the reason he sent his son, Jesus, to take on our flesh and pay the price of forgiveness for you and for me. Because the day of judgment will certainly come, God sent his Son to join us here on earth, to be tempted in every respect as we are, yet to remain without sin. But that's not all. For not only can Jesus sympathize with us in our weakness, having shared in his own earthly life, He also suffered the punishment you and I have earned by our sin. His life of perfect love was capped by his loving and willing sacrifice of himself, so that the forgiveness John preached could be accomplished. That's what St. Paul is proclaiming when he writes that God put forward Jesus as a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice by his blood, to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Forgiveness for Adam and Eve, for Noah and his family, for Abraham and Sarah, was all extended on credit, as it were. But on the cross, Jesus paid the bill for sin in full, not just for every sin since the beginning of creation until his death, but in advance as well for every sin that would be committed until the very moment of his return. That's why St. Paul can write, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Your sins, every single one of them, have been propitiated, paid for in full by Jesus' death on the cross. All who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been united with him in his death, and all who share in his death through faith share also in his life. Already here and now, and also throughout all eternity. Again this morning, in just a few moments, you will be privileged to receive him personally and individually as he comes to you in his body broken and his blood shed, the very price of your redemption. Comes forgiving your sins, feeding you his life, coming to you to strengthen and sustain you as his beloved, a member of his bride, the church, waiting in eager hope and certain trust for the day of his appearing. God grant you to live each day in repentance and faith, prepared in Christ for his return. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and deliver us from this valley of the shadow of death to the great marriage feast in your kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.